Okay.
So we're in the round room, and this is where people all come together. You've got the politicos, you got like the Bob Costas meeting the NVIDIA guy here. You got the Kara Swisher. People, oh, Kara, Kara, tell me more, tell me more, tell me more. Right. It all takes place right here.
Hey, welcome to Politico Tech. Today's Friday, April 26th. I'm Stephen Overly, and that was Tammy Haddad. For those who don't know DC, Tammy is a social force here. She's got endless connections in politics and media, and a knack for finding her way to the center of whatever DC is talking about. And recently, that's led her to all things artificial intelligence. Tammy now runs the Washington AI Network. How do you describe the Washington AI Network?
Oh, it's the most important network in Washington, in town where everything is a network.
Right.
Kidding. Well, maybe not kidding,
yeah,
right?
I was not kidding. The Washington AI Network, an event series and podcast meant for AI players. And she's actually hosting an AI luncheon today during Washington's busiest social weekend. I met up with Tammy last week at a 140-year-old home in Washington's DuPont Circle neighborhood.
So Theodore Roosevelt lived here. He was Secretary of the Navy, and he could come out. And, you know, my only question, Stephen, was he looking at the Palm restaurant like we were? I don't know.
Yeah, waiting for his Uber Eats order? Probably not.
Yes, but yes.
She was there getting ready for both today's AI lunch and her famous Saturday garden brunch, a fixture of White House Correspondents' Weekend for 31 years running. She told me how AI is changing DC's social scene and why she's riding the AI wave. Here's our conversation.
So the idea was to bring together all the different folks who are working in AI, because we were hearing around town, you know, we're political media folks, and we're hearing people talk about AI, not the usual suspects,
right?
But politicos, business people, you know, people around the political media water cooler, right?
Right.
So we wanted to know who they were and how they're working together and what they're actually accomplishing. Will government choose to regulate AI?
Right.
Because social media has not been regulated, the internet. What was the last regulation was, I don't know, like 19 years ago or something like that?
If not longer.
Like pre-Obama.
Yeah, most tech regulation is like the 90s, basically.
Right.
Pre-internet.
And by the way, I am not sure that it would have made a difference, you know, that it's the right thing. So I'm not advocating for that. But on the other hand, everyone is trying to figure out how you take something that can so dramatically change how you live, how you work, how you love, how do you incorporate that into your life? So we're Haddad Media, and we wanted to be in the middle of it.
Was there a moment where you sort of had that realization that, like, this is something people want to talk about that they will come together around?
Well, I think it's when you had the Senate and the Schumer people came forward and said, let's start these inside forums. I've never heard that before. Let's bring together all the top voices. And then it wasn't just OpenAI or Elon Musk. They brought in unions. They brought in researchers. And then I met Miriam Vogel right here at the House of 1229 when we were in the podcast studio. I met her right here. And she had been working on AI harms and how to make sure AI is fair for 5 years. So I sat down and talked to her and I thought, wow, this is really something I need to know and we should tell people about it. And we're communicators and we really believe in policy and government and covering politics all these many years, the power of government. There's no bigger power in the world. Sorry, Elon Musk. There is more power in this city. And that's why you and I are probably the luckiest people here, because we are talking to so many of these people that are trying to decide how to do things.
Well, it's like a combination of fascination and fear when I talk to people. There's like a concern,
I think that's right. Right. Why is that? Because any big people, whether you're talking business, government, schools, anything, they need to know what the path forward is, and no one knows what it is.
Right. I mean, it sounds like hearing you talk, launching this network and digging into AI has kind of like opened up a whole new dimension to this town. than maybe you were paying attention to before. Is that fair to say?
I think so. I think that's right, because we are focused on, I've always been focused on politics and policy.
Right.
And now, again, we have something that changes all of policy and all of politics. Thank you very much. But it will be successful, and it'll be successful by the people we know and the new people coming in who are going to work really hard to make it work. But listen, there are pressure groups, special interest groups. They're all advocating for something, some things that'll help my family live a better life, some things I'm not going to agree with at all. But I do think that it's all going to come out in the middle. Again, so let's go back to the Schumer Insight Forums. So they had, how many did they have? Like five? I think it was five.
I think it may have been more than that. It was like maybe close to 10.
Right. Yeah. And what was the real purpose? The purpose was to have senators focus on it.
Right.
To have the staffs and bring them together. So we were like the nighttime version of that, because right. they came in.
Insight Forum after dark.
Come on over to the Washington AI Network. Oh, I should actually tell you that what was so interesting about the early conversations, really true to this day, is that most of the people working on policy did not know each other. In fact, I met with someone from OSTP yesterday who said, oh, hey, thanks for doing those gatherings, because we didn't know this person or that person. Now, here's the other thing that's good, is a lot of the people working on these issues are veteran, amazing people, veteran policy people. And then they have taken this entire group of young people and brought them into the process. And the respect, you tell me if you agree with this, but what I've seen, the respect that, I don't want to say junior because that sounds diminishing, but the newer candidates for, you know, office, I hope someday, but working in offices now that are involved now on not just research, but policy, that's a gift.
I think that's right. I mean, the AI has attracted a whole new kind of crop of interest in working in Washington, working in policy. And there are, you know, fellowship programs and things to facilitate some of that. But I guess maybe the most similar I can think of is during the Obama years, there was a lot of, you know, revolving door and a lot of interest in Silicon Valley coming to Washington and vice versa. AI in some ways feels like another level of that, you know, because of all of the concern and the power that people think the technology has.
Well, also those big giant checks the Commerce Department is cutting, right? The CHIPS Act. Yeah. And I mean, it's really pushed all these folks to look again. You know, some of the people in Silicon Valley look at Washington. I moved to New York. When I left Larry King Live, I went to the Today Show. And I was shocked that New York media people like thought of Washington as, ooh, who cares about them? That sleepy southern city. They take all these resources away. And I would say the last 5 years or so that Silicon Valley again looked and said, nice, you're nice people over there, but we're not going to bother with you.
Right.
So the resurgence of Silicon Valley interest is obviously because of AI, but also the opportunity and the amount of money that's here. I interviewed Admiral Whitworth from the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency.
Okay, yeah.
And there were people in the room, political people, people at, you know, companies, OpenAI, other companies, who had never met him in person, right? Who, someone that takes data, who's on the front lines of AI, government, military, intel, right? All of those issues. And to have them be in the room together, that's what I think is going to make this all work, because more people are talking to each other.
Well, and I wonder if you can elaborate on that, because you do have sort of this convening power with the AI network, and you said that a lot of these folks didn't necessarily know each other or communicate much before. I mean, is that just because it's sort of a strange bedfellows, if you will, who AI has brought together? Or what exactly has sort of caused this shift where now people are needing to talk that they weren't before?
I think it's mutual interest. I think if you're in media, if you're covering politics, if you're going to the conventions or covering election night, right?
Right.
And AI is going to have a huge impact. We've already seen the deep fakes, et cetera. You're going to want to know as early as possible how it will impact what you're doing, right? Now, on the other hand, if you're, you know, you're looking at Microsoft, if you're not Microsoft or one of the other big companies, and you're saying, oh my God, Fred Humphries and these guys, look what they're doing. Brad Smith, he needs an apartment in Washington. Right. He's here so often, right? He's as smooth as they get. Actually, I'll tell you a funny story. I went to, I can't tell you, there's a secret dinner that I got invited to this year.
Okay.
And there was an event before, and people on the dais, it was public facing, I could say it. It was General Mattis. It was Hank Paulson. It was Brad Smith and Fred Smith, like four titans. And you know who people listen to the most? Brad Smith. You could have heard a pin drop because he is at the nexus of AI technology, of course, open AI. And then you've got Meta. And by the way, in this moment, maybe we should talk about
these glasses.
TGAI Fridays.
Yes.
Coming up for the White House Correspondents Weekend.
I do want to ask you about this.
Yes. And so right now I'm putting on my Ray-Ban Meta smart glasses and I'm not recording you. Oh, yes, I am. I'm recording you now.
Okay.
Taking some good pictures.
Smile.
Profile.
My profile's not my best side, Tammy.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. All right. Let's just go. Now let's just record it. Okay. Now we're recording.
I'm taking video.
Exactly. We're taking video. And so these glasses, first of all, how good do I look?
I mean, smart, right? Sophisticated.
Remember Google Glass?
Tech savvy. Right.
Remember Google Glass?
Yes.
By the way, I put Google Glass on my face and I scratched my nose. I was like bleeding, taking them off all those years ago. Anyway, but so now we have this technology. Meta is going to do some demos and show us some things. And we're going to have these glasses too. Now, when has Meta come to Washington and said, come on over and let's show these things?
Right.
And let me tell you about it. That's part of it too. Every one of these companies has been working on these interesting products and fun things. So I think we're going to have a lot of fun. Okay, I'm going to stop recording you now.
So I do want to talk about this because we're heading into the White House Correspondents Dinner weekend. Dozens of parties and events around Washington. Obviously, you are very well known for your Saturday brunch. And this year you are kicking it off, though, with a Friday lunch focused on AI. You know, the biggest social weekend of the year, and you're throwing an AI event. Tell me about that.
I'm doing it because people asked me more about it. We have been curating smaller groups of people that are involved in policy, innovation, research. And then the general folks that come in that week and said, aren't you going to do something on AI? And I said, okay, well, let's do it and let's talk about it. And I'm really excited because I'm going to interview Joel Pinault, who is the Meta AI guru, one of them, and remarkable person. And I want to hear about all the work she's been doing over the years, because that's what it comes back to. Because this didn't just happen when OpenAI started, right?
Right.
These folks have been looking at the issues for years. And I really want to hear what she has to say. And I want to know my number one question. Then you tell me what my number one question should be. But my number one question is, what is the next piece that's going to happen? When is the next thing going to drop, right? Because right now we're looking at all of these companies, you know, Adobe, Meta, Google, they all have these fascinating, absolutely fascinating chatbots and incredible opportunities for graphics and things. And the key thing is for people to see it as something that is going to change their lives or not. But here's my point. It's hard to touch AI.
Yeah.
You could touch a product. You can touch your computer, right? When you search now on Google search, have you noticed how much stronger it is? Or at least for me, it's stronger, not just predictive, but different ways of doing it. But for the Correspondents Weekend, I guess the big question is, will anyone wear an AI-related dress?
Dress.
Will Kim Kardashian come? Remember, she had Marilyn Monroe. But maybe she'll have some AI thing. Open AI. Sam Altman knows everyone.
Right.
Come on now. Do you think he's coming?
You tell me.
You know every guest list in town. I can't say. But I will tell you, guess who my guest was in 2015? Elon Musk.
Oh.
He was my guest for Correspondence. He's a guest of Bloomberg, I should say, Mike Bloomberg's. And, it's incredible to be able to talk to him. And it's interesting. 2 years ago, one of my guests was the head of Space Force. And I was chatting with him before we walked into the room. And I said, because I guess SpaceX had just done something. And I said, do you know Elon Musk? And he's like, I've been friends with him for 20 years. And that's the thing about that weekend. And that's why all the AI people are coming. Because in that weekend, more business is done. And that's what Correspondents Weekend is. It's the only time of the year that people from New York, LA all come in. That's how I started this garden brunch, which is the day of the event. And the idea is who is doing something interesting. It's your chance to meet editors. People have gotten married from attending my brunch where they met. But there's also a lot of business that gets done. And I think the more, I hope all the AI people are coming in some way, shape, or form so they can all talk to each other. And honestly, my hope is for policy, don't you? More right. Policy.
One question I have, and it's a bit cynical, I guess, but I saw a post.
You on cynical? You're at Politico? Oh,
I know, right?
I'm so surprised.
A cynical journalist? Yeah. How novel.
Yes.
No, but I saw a online posting about sort of the unique characteristics of D.C. social scene. And someone said in D.C., everyone looks over your shoulder to see if someone more important has walked in the room, which I think is cynical, but maybe not entirely inaccurate. Has AI kind of like changed who matters in the room? Like
totally.
Elon Musk, Sam, you know, yeah. It's like all these names that we weren't talking about a few years ago. They're not Washington, you know, traditional Washington figures. And yet, you know, they're on everyone's tongue in town.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. But you all, I mean, the thing about Washington is its power, right?
Yeah.
And its importance and whoever is the new bright, shiny object. But in a realistic way, it isn't in a Kardashian way. It's in a you're going to change technology, you're going to, you know, possibly change policy. And, you know, there is a real push. Let's be honest. There's a huge push for policy and technology companies, mm-hmm. right? And the technology companies are saying, wait a minute, there's a reason the United States of America is far ahead, you know, because of the innovation, because we're not handcuffed by government. Of course, how many AI bills are there in states across the country? You know, really, thank God we're not going to go into that because it would be the entire time talking about all the different policies.
Right.
So government is acting. But for that weekend, yeah. And it should be. I think it should be that way. New voices are important. It's people that have achieved something and are here to talk about it. I mean, honestly, at our Washington AI Network events, I've met people that are making chips and they're like, this is my favorite thing, right? This is like the party trick now. My chip is going to be so much more powerful than NVIDIA chip. My chip is going to be five times. It's like a drinking game with NVIDIA, right?
Right.
Or NVIDIA or OpenAI. Anytime someone mentions like, take a drink. Yeah. But like, my chip is going to be so good, so powerful.
It's the flex. It's
there
the new flex.
Yesterday. Yeah. There yesterday, right? And it's so I like that though, because you want competition and you want people to fight for every inch of it. Because who benefits? American people.
Well, you know, I have to ask this because we're both in the media business, right? You know, events, media production. We know that it requires sponsorships and advertisers. And I know Ghosh to ask about money. I'm going to be Ghosh. It does all of this fascination with AI. Has there been just like also a flood of money behind it looking for content, looking for community building in this like AI universe?
I would take it one step larger, then I'll come back.
Okay.
I think what's happened now, because people aren't in their offices, I think it's harder to get meetings with government officials. It's harder to get meetings with anyone, frankly, because they're not all at the office all the time. So it's always been, you know, I worked at Washington Post Live for many years, the live event series, that people like to come into the room and see each other. So, you know, they call it meetings on the margin, right? But it's really, this is an opportunity to come together. We have some sponsored events. We have some events that are not sponsored that we just think it's important to do. It's not, this has not been a business play for me. This is, I got to know these people. I got to figure out what's going on. I want to be there. I want to meet them because I think it's really important. You know, that's the origin of it. But then sponsors came to us. We didn't walk out the doors and said, oh, we'd like to be part of this or we would like to be part of that because we have a unique place there. But I just went to the Washington Post Live Futures Conference.
Yeah.
And to your point, 50% of it was about AI. And of course, they're, you know, Semaphore, every company, including Politico, are bringing people together. If you're asking if there are more dollars out there, as someone who's sort of, I'm on the news side, I'm on not on the sponsorship side. Yes, I think there's more. But I also think what else has changed is because it's not like you could see these kinds of things covered on cable news. You know, CNBC would have more AI conversation or tech conversation. CNN, MSNBC, and everything's moved more to politics.
Mm-hmm.
and democracy, and not just that, but more issues that are affecting people because their ratings have gone down. So you're going more to, this sounds cynical, but I actually don't mean it that way. What is it that most affects people today? Not like in the future, but today. So in Washington, people want to be in the room. So you've got, you know, audience, we can only fit 50 or 60 people when we do events here. We've talked about doing it more.
I'm curious, your Saturday brunch for the White House Correspondents' Dinner, how many years has that been around?
31 years this year.
So this will be 31 years. Obviously, the AI network, it's about a year old now, a little about
9 months.
9 months.
But who's counting?
Right, but
who's counting to the anniversary?
In tech and in, you know, our social scene, there are so many fads and trends. Does AI have staying power? Do you think, you know, 31 years from now, there will still be an AI brunch?
Oh, yeah. There definitely will, because it's going to change everything. We might not call it the AI brunch, right? We would call it something else. But yes, I think that's true. Actually, I think all of the people that you see today that are playing these important roles, that maybe they'll be running for office. You know, it's very interesting. Tech companies 10, 15 years ago hired all these great political operatives at Meta and other places. Why is that? Because they look, as AI has to look now, wider. It's not about this moment. It's what's the campaign? Who do we want to be? How are we going to not just change the world, but change industry, right?
Right.
So I think that's why they picked up all these folks. And so that's why we can't predict.
I've interviewed an AI-powered robot that thought it should be president. So
And what 31
years,
sell?
They may be competing.
Hearts and minds. Right. Hearts and minds and what? Gadgets?
Hearts and minds and gadgets. Well, it doesn't
Hearts and minds and GPUs.
Right, GPUs.
GPUs.
I think
yes, we can.
Yes, I think it's all mind and no heart, though.
Yeah.
Well, this has been so delightful. Tammy, thank you for joining us on Politico Tech.
Honored to be here. Thank you for all the great work you're doing and explaining so much of this to me.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's episode comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our managing producer is Annie Reese. Our producer is Afra Abdullah. And our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Stephen Overley. See you back here on Monday.